Today, I would like to talk about Buddhist faith, particularly in Zen Buddhism. Did you hear me? My topic today is Buddhist faith. Did you hear me? In a sense, it's pretty difficult to understand the Buddhist faith. in usual sense. Because if you study Buddhism generally, the essential central philosophy of Buddhism is emptiness. From the beginning to end, Buddhist teaching emphasizes clearly the teaching of emptiness as the ultimate nature of existence. Emptiness means, anyway, emptiness. Okay? If you say the ultimate nature of existence is emptiness, and then you say, I understand. At that time, what you have understood about emptiness of existence is no longer empty because you are attached to the emptiness. Do you understand? The moment when you are attached to the emptiness, emptiness is no longer empty because you can see the something you can grasp. Conceptually, mentally, or physically, anyway, you can have it. So it is no longer the emptiness. Okay? But that's why Buddhism constantly emphasizes the emptiness of existence. From this point, okay, from this point, Buddhist faith is to know nothing to believe in. Nothing to believe in. Nothing to know. Because if you know emptiness, it's not emptiness. So you have to know there is nothing to know. This is a human situation for all of you, okay? Whoever you are. So what is the Buddhist faith? So Buddhist faith is, if you want to say about the definition of Buddhist faith, Buddhist faith is to believe nothing to know. Okay? To believe in the situation of a human situation where you are standing in completely nothing to know. This is Buddhist faith. Okay? Nothing to know. But it is very difficult for human being to believe in nothing to know. That's why the many religions try to give you some ideas, so-called God, divinity, or angels, and ghosts, and many things. Do you understand? Telepathies, and many things. Whatever you use the term divinity and God, Buddhas, Avalokiteshvara, or ghost and the spirituality, so whatever you say, whatever kind of words you use, you should consider them once more again. What do you mean? What is a God? What is a divinity? What is a Buddha? What is the truth? What is it? Can't you know it? If you don't believe me, please go to the church and ask about God. Even the ministers, priests, no priest try to explain what the God is. Nothing. What is God? Or truth. What is the truth? But anyway, but it's very difficult to live our lives without depending on anything. So-called emptiness, emptiness, emptiness. That's pretty hard for human beings. That's why after century, human beings try to help you, because human beings try to get something to depend on. That's why we put the certain name on it, so-called God, divinities, angels, spiritualities, you can say so. And then we say, yes, I believe in God. At that time, you are really hung on the idea of God. It's not real God. Real God is exact emptiness. But if I say so, maybe I could be scolded by the Christian people. But this is really true. Because if you don't believe this one, please go to the church and ask. Who can answer to this? Well, in the history of Buddhism, okay? Buddhism is really different from other religions because Buddhism constantly pay attention to that emptiness at all without putting any name on it. Okay? Constantly see it. Constantly face the emptiness as an ultimate nature of existence. Exactly. Constantly. Because that emptiness is nothing to know. That emptiness means nothing to know or to depend or to believe. With your mind, with your heart, nothing. Okay. But on the other hand, that nothing exactly something which make your life alive. Because that nothingness is not something separate from your life. From where that nothingness comes. Nothingness comes from every single one of the human beings. Every single one of the all sentient beings. So, emptiness is not a concept, philosophical concept, or emptiness is not philosophical, psychological, or religious concept. It's something real. Okay? Because it's very close to us, to our human life. So Buddhism tried to be honest to this situation. How cross how the honest to the reality how human phenomena and emptiness as the ultimate nature of existence as emptiness are working very closely without creating any gap. Is that clear? Do you understand that? Can't you imagine that one? Your basic nature, the basis of your life is complete emptiness. Nothing to hold on. Okay? Well, intellect, even intellect, you can see a little bit. But on the other end, your intellect, your sense, don't accept because you hate it. You don't like it. And then I say, I will give you some candy to believe, and then you happy so much. And then you love me so much, Karagiri, thank you. But Buddhism doesn't trick you. Even though you cry, or even though you scream, Buddhism doesn't tricks you, okay? Constantly, Buddhism tries to put you right in the middle of emptiness, because it is ultimate nature of existence, and simultaneously, it is your life, okay? And your life and emptiness are working very close. That is called intimacy. I told about intimacy at the Hokyoji temple. At that time, one of the psychologists asked me, I understand emptiness because physically I can contact with anybody with intimacy, but I don't mean I don't mean that intimacy, okay? Of course, you have to experience intimacy through your body and mind, but you cannot hang on concept of intimacy because that is emptiness. Emptiness and life exactly connected and working together. If you hang on your life, next moment it's become empty. And then if you see the emptiness, next moment it's life. Your life is alive. Don't you know what the Prajnaparamita says? No nose, no ears, no eyes, no bodies, no heart. Then never rest. Immediately there is a nose, there is a eyes, there is a ears. How can you know? How can you deny? No. So intimacy is no gap between, no space between emptiness and your life, exactly connected, working together. And then the purpose of Buddhist practice is, okay, to have completely, absolutely no doubt about no gap between human life and also emptiness in total working. That is called faith. Alright? So intimacy. Faith is intimacy. Buddhist faith is exactly intimacy. Intimacy is something you have to experience, you have to jump into. If you want to swim, you have to be intimate with the water and your bodies. Constant, perfect intimacy between water and your body and mind.
You cannot separate water and bodies and mind. If you separate, there is some daydreams coming up between you and water. Do you understand? For instance, during the swimming or during the dancing, at the stage, you are always thinking, dancing perfectly in a moment. Next moment, you think yourself, oh, I am dancing pretty well. Do you understand? You do always. Even I am sitting here, and at the moment, I got the pretty nice situation, and very immediately, oh, Karaki, pretty good. You know? Or during this talking, if you have a pretty good reaction to me, I say, oh, pretty good. Don't you think so? So always there is some gap between. But at that time, if you create a gap between my talk and your reactions, I always waiting for your reactions. Okay? I don't mean that I should ignore your reactions. So I should concern about your reaction, but I cannot hang on your reactions. So all I have to do is to talk with whole body and mind. Then that time I can at that time I can see your reactions. Okay? So the real intimacy is to jump into the water and just swim. That's to swim is the total manifestation of intimacy between your body and water. That is called intimacy. But if you create, even set some gap, some delusions, some ideas comes into that space gap, and they say, I'm pretty good. Or you criticize yourself. Or if you don't criticize, or if you don't judge yourself, maybe you sleep, you fall to sleep. Or, what would you say? You create daydreams. Daydreams. Okay. So in that space, lots of things coming up. Sleep. For instance, zazen. Okay. When you create lots of thoughts, when you create a gap between the zazen and you, at that time you create lots of thoughts, ideas, and then chasing after. So to chase after thoughts and the ideas and the emotions, at that time you escalate. You escalate the creation of gap, bigger and bigger. And then finally, you enjoy very much because time passes quickly. You realize that time passes quickly. You know, because you enjoy. If you don't enjoy, the 5 minutes are pretty long. You believe, you feel the time, 5 minutes are sort of an hour. So very naturally, you enjoy very much in creating your thoughts and ideas. But if you don't do that, and just said, at that time, no space, then at that time you fall to sleep. In other words, if you're not interested in sitting in zazen, okay, or if you are not interested in yourself or zazen, anything, and then just sit down, immediately you fall to sleep. And then if you fall to sleep, you don't know what's going on there. Before, after. Before and after of your practice, you don't know. Or sometimes, very often, you can create daydreams, okay, within that gap. So that is not intimacy, okay? That is not intimacy. Real intimacy is exactly total oneness between you and water, okay? So, in order to do this, you have to use your whole body and mind and stand up straight there, and then next moment you have to return to the emptiness. Means don't hang on. All you have to do is manifest your total effort right there and don't hang on. Because you have to return the emptiness, source of existence. So that's what Prajnaparamita says. The last sentence we say, Gati, Gati, Paragati, Parasangati, Bodhisvaha, means you devote yourself to do something right now, right here. Next moment, you have to go beyond. Go beyond means let it be, okay? Exactly. Exactly, you have to rule you. You have to be you as you really are. All you have to do is just to continue to this practice. Continue to carry, to practice this. Okay? So that's where Buddhism doesn't, the tricksy always see, face directly emptiness, and within the emptiness we have to see your life, okay? How it works. So that is the Buddhist total attitude toward human life, so-called faith. Empirically, it is called intimacy. It is so statement which in of Buddhist scripture.
Well, there is theory, okay? As sure as I can. It says faith is within the principle of the truth to bear up, to enjoy, to desire, and to be limpid and clear. Faith is within the principle of the truth. Truth is empty, sorry. Faith is within the principle of emptiness to bear up, to desire, to bear up, to enjoy, true desire, and to be limpid and clear, right? So, let me simply explain, say, because this statement is the teaching that how we should practice within the intimacy between life and your life and emptiness. Because you cannot attach to either one of them, so-called your life, because it's emptiness. On the other hand, you cannot attach to the emptiness because you have your life. So finally, we don't know how to do it. That's why this statement is the point how we should practice within the intimacy between your life and emptiness. Within the Buddhist faith, this is a Buddhist faith, all right? So, faith is within the principle of truth. It says within the principle of the truth means within the principle of emptiness. In other words, your body and mind is already going within the emptiness. Okay? Means your body and minds are with emptiness already. And then you can have your life. If your life is no emptiness, you cannot have your life in aliveness. Okay? So that's why this is very important within the principle of emptiness, and then it says to build up. To build up is, what to say, to build up is not to build up is, what to say, there are three growing up, three category of patience, okay? Patience. One is the conditions of the unborn Dharma. Unborn Dharma means emptiness. Okay? The emptiness, the patience of emptiness means nothing to hold on, nothing to throw away, nothing to have it, nothing to throw, nothing to get in, okay? Get. Nothing. So that is a dharma, that is an emptiness, that is the nature of your life, okay? So this is the one point. So that is the patience of emptiness. We say, I'm born Dharma. Dharma. So if you try to, if you are interested in Dharma, it is no longer interested in a real Dharma, but you are interested in the concept of Dharma. Okay? So real Dharma is beyond the concept of Dharma. Right? You understand that one? When you start seeing, I always say, if you see so something beautiful, then you say, you are very impressed by something beautiful. Totally beautiful, say, then you say, wow, this world is very grand world, first world, before you explain how beautiful it is, okay? But that grand world, so called, wow, is already something expressed. What you have had through your six senses through your body. Do you understand? That is the very first stage of your experience. But Dharma or truth or emptiness is something prior to having creating that grand world, so-called war. Because war coming from exactly oneness between nature and you, when you stand right in the middle of nature, okay? Is that clear? Without this oneness between real nature and you, you cannot get the first, very original word, grand word, so-called word. You never experience, okay? So, that's why real Dharma is not something you can get, you can think, you can believe, but it's there with you. That's why it's very close, but very intimacy. This is a belief in Buddhism. We should believe this one, even though you don't. That's why next, what should we do? That's why next, there is a patience. Now, patience is, you have to know, Dharma is completely nothing to hold on, nothing to throw away. because it's very close to you. But if you try to get it, it's become far from you. So, very naturally, you don't know what it is. That's why you have to practice patience. Okay? And the next, patience of sound and echo. Means that emptiness has lots of sounds and also echoes. They're reverberating constantly every inch of your life. Okay. It's very quiet, tranquilities, but that tranquility is not necessarily still, because it is penetrating every inch of your life. That emptiness is very quiet and also dynamic, because supporting you. It's very quiet and simultaneously dynamic, is supporting you. That's why when you're confused and very much emptiness makes you calm. Okay? I don't know how often you bump your forehead into the trouble and make a big bump on your forehead. But it doesn't matter how many bumps you have. Okay? Finally, all you can do is to make yourself calm. In other words, to realizing total picture of your life. So, from this point, whatever you do, that is supporting you. Okay? So that emptiness is penetrating to every inch of your life, wherever you are. That is called patience of sound and echo, reverberations. So next one is patience of flexibility and adaptability, okay? Flexibleness and also adaptableness. Okay? It is. That emptiness is very flexible. Very flexible if you touch it. It's turning into something. You know the quark in physics, I told you, quark is very tiny beings. And the scientist says it has five flavors, which has nothing to do with the usual sense of flavor you believe. Okay? So-called top, bottom, beauty and ugly, etc. Okay? And then if you touch the top of the quark, immediately top turns into the bottom. If you touch the flavor so-called ugly, it's immediately turned into the beauty. Well, you don't know what a quark is. You understand? This is your nature. So go emptiness. So no particular pattern there. No particular idea. You try to touch it. But you can touch it. But if you touch it, it's turned into something. So, very naturally, it is, the intimacy is very flexible, very flexible and also adaptable, because you can touch it, but it's not that you can get it, it's not something you can get it. So very flexible, very adaptable to everyone. Okay, this is for empty. That's why you have to be patient. Patience is not affliction. Patience is not to oppress you under the suffering, under the affliction. Do you understand? Is that clear? So you have to see the deeply human life, okay? That is the true build up. To build up. So build up means to be patient means to know the Dharma. Dharma is emptiness, nothing to hold on to know. Okay? That is your situation, everyone. But human beings always try to know constantly. That is a human problem for us. We don't want to let it be. So we need a practice to let it be. Let go of yourself and listen to echo and sounds, which is flexible and adaptable to your life. So anyway, be patient, okay? Next, to enjoy. Enjoy means to aspire, to have a deep aspiration, okay? To enjoy your life with deep aspiration for seeing deeply, touching the basic nature of existence. This is a so-called enjoy. Okay? not to frowning about. If you see the trouble, immediately you flounder about your life, and very confused. That floundering makes you very confused. It's very difficult to deal with your life. Okay? So, to enjoy means, anyway, to enjoy means of constantly to have the practice of patience and seeing deeply human nature, and then you can enjoy your life with deep aspiration for all sentient beings, your life and all sentient beings. And next, to desire. To desire means how desire to, or to say, desire that how you, or to say, excuse me, desire how to use your life, okay? How to use your life for all sentient beings, everyone. Not only this life, but past life, present life, future life. Okay. In the sutra, it says, ever making this my thought, how shall I guide all beings to enter the supreme way, means the truth, and speedily accomplish their Buddha way. In other words, to awaken your life, what it is. So constantly you have to think, you have to have a desire, strong desire, how to guide all sentient beings to know human life based on the emptiness, without tricking others, constantly facing that nature. Okay? It's pretty hard for us, but it is our practice. That's what we need to help each other. And also, Dogen did mention, speaking of Dharma, speaking of the truth, okay? Speaking of the truth and listening to truth, and with each single body, life after life. That is very huge. Oh, that is really marvelous way of dealing with your life. For your life and also for others. Not only this present life, past, present, future. This is spiritual aspiration for how to use your life. This is a desire, okay? Desire. And also, last one is to be limpid and clear. That means if you have patience, if you practice patience and enjoyment and desire, next we are pretty easily to fall into the career of carrying those practice, patience and enjoyment and desire. But next, what you have to do is to be limpid and clear means let it go. Just do it. That's pretty hard for us. But this is a final goal for us. For instance, if you're Christian, you go to the church and pray. What do you mean this way? God talks with you. Someone says, someone who experiences strongly says, yes, God talks with me, to me. But what is a God anyway? If you think it, if you start to think, it's nothing to think of it, nothing to hold on. So, but you cannot stop going to church and pray. So what do you mean this way? So all you have to do is, whatever you have, whatever kind of career you have, religiously, anywhere, finally, you yourself, your career must be limpid and clear. Let go your career, anywhere, anything. All you have to do is go to the church, just pray. That is called faith. Right? In other words, no intent. No intent to make your career useful, anyway, useful. Useful. If you try to make your career useful, that is always something give and take world, pros and cons, success and failure. But spiritually, religiously, you have to stand up vastness of existence where no sense of pros and cons, success and failure. And then you can help all sentient beings under all circumstances, which is called pros and cons, success and failure. Okay? This is a faith. That's why finally what you have to do is your life, your careers, all things must be limited and clear like water. You must be in water as clear and limpid. Alright? Just like water. And just see and just take care and just help and pass by. That's pretty hard practice for us. But this is best way to practice our faith. Religious faith. Okay. So, as a conclusion, to practice patience means not to blend with your religious life or careers or the emptiness, okay, or truth, down to the level of human, usual sense of human life. Okay? Anyway, if you try to know, that means to bring the truth down to the level of human sense. Okay? Truth is not something like that. Emptiness, exactly. If it is true, you, instead of to scoop the water of the truth into your basket, anyway, why don't you soak your basket in the stream of the truth? That's all you can do it. But we don't do it. We want to know. To know is to scoop the water of the truth and pour the water into your basket, individual basket. But your body and mind is just like a bamboo basket. No minute to hold the water. You have poured. I'm sorry for you. But this is a total picture of your life. So if you don't want to lose the water, please, soak your basket into the stream of water, so-called truth, okay? Instead of floundering about in your life, all right? And that is a patience,
And to enjoy means anywhere that your life is exactly intimate, very intimate with emptiness. Means basic nature of your life is freedom, complete freedom. So you should enjoy this life. Your life is freedom. So call emptiness. That is to enjoy, and also next, the desire to desire means how to use your life for you, for all sentient beings, life after life, okay? Using your body. Next, all you have done in your life religiously, you have to, all things, what you have done must be limpid and clear, like a word. Okay? That means just do it from day to day. Okay, do you have a question? Hi. That is a zazen. I mentioned that the meaning of zazen is exactly your life. I mentioned here. Okay? Zazen is sitting. Okay? Zazen is sitting. But your sitting is not the your sitting, individual sitting. Okay? That your sitting is simultaneously, what would you say? The emptiness or universe anywhere is with your practice of zazen. Okay? If you do zazen, always you think you. Okay? Always you think of zazen limited by you. Okay? But zazen you do is yours, but simultaneously that is something more than you. Okay, that is a one point. That is called Buddha Samadhi. Okay, Buddha Samadhi means the manifestation of the Buddha, manifestation of the intimacy between your life and we have to carry that kind of zazen, and also in your whole life, you have to have a great determination to carry your zazen, which is exactly the same as universal zazen, okay? Universal zazen. So individual is not individual. Individual is universe. Okay? You don't believe, but in Buddhism, it's so-called one is all is one. Okay. For instance, a circle. Circle consists of many points, spots. Okay, many spots, many dots. That is called moment. Okay. Circle consists of the many moments. Each single moment is an implication of individual life. Okay. But individual life doesn't make sense if it's separated from other moments. Individual moments must connect it very closely with other moments. How? That is only when the moments circle is moving. At that time, it's called individual moment, which is universal moment. For instance, if I have a flashlight in at night and make a circle, and simultaneously light is not one light, it is a circle, okay? You can see. But that circle is consisting of many moments, okay? So each moment is your life. But your life is not your life. And that is a total picture of circle created by flashlight.
How do we know? Just revived, fresh light means your life. Let's continually revolve your life, means make your life alive, day by day. Means do zazen exactly your zazen, but simultaneously it's not your zazen. It is one circle, so-called universal zazen. Okay? When you really make your individual zazen at all, that is whole universe is working pretty well. Oh, excuse me. Any other question?
Is the trick to, in avoiding the gap, to be active in life and the emptiness at the same time, so that there's no...
Pick a pen.
The trick would then be to avoid the gap by living emptiness and living life at the same time?
Yes. Because gap is something you can create in the practice in movement. Okay, in other words, concentration. It depends on the degree of your concentration, intention. Do you understand? For instance, if I drink this cup and recklessly, well, I can talk with you and I can drink this cup of water. But if I don't want to create a gap between this cup and I, all I have to do is keep my mouth shut, anyway, drink a cup of tea. That's pretty good. But in our daily life, look at your life. You do this kind of practice? No, you don't. Always have a breakfast, reading the newspapers, listening to the radios, and watching the TVs, and eating breakfast, chatting each other. That is a gap. You understand? That's why if the people go to the Zen monastery and the practice, or if you go to the monastery of Christianity, you're really impressed, because they are just doing very quietly, one by one, with wholeheartedness. No gap between. Any questions? Why?
Would you say why it is bad for there to be a gap?
It's not bad. It's because it's not bad, but it's not good anyway. Do you understand? Because gap is, it's not bad, because if you create a gap, you enjoy it very much, you know? Don't you think so? For instance, if I drink a cup of tea and talking with him, chatting, that's pretty nice. Do you understand? You can have a communication with the people, and you can be friendly with the people. So drinking a cup of tea and shaking hands. And reading a newspaper and breakfast, you can know the whole world anyway. So you can do two things. Maybe not more. But that's why it's not bad. But on the other end, that is pretty confused, you know. Because I am drinking a cup of tea and talking with him, sometimes my mind is completely blown away. Because I don't know what I am talking about. Sometimes my daydreams comes in. Oh, this guy is a pretty nice guy. Don't you think so? Something like that. The daydreams comes into. If I create something like that, so it's not bad. Confused. You don't know what it is, what's going on, because to enjoy, to know who you are. Is that okay?
So I have a question. If you're drinking your cup and talking to me and you don't think about it, you don't create a gap. But once you think about either thinking about me or drinking the cup, you have created a gap. Does that make sense?
Do you understand? Do you? Everyone understand his question? Can't you hear? Oh, did you? Pretty good. That is a human intellect. Human intellect always going like that. So, I think, yes, it's pretty clever. You know, but I think in the human life, sometimes you have to cut it that the string of human intellect, right? And keep your mind shut, just do it. Right? That is also pretty important. But if you don't, constantly you're going. And finally, you don't know in which direction you should go because too much detours, you know. Detours. You know, when I was in Los Angeles, I first time I drove the freeway in Los Angeles. You know, I was not scared. You know, because I didn't know anything about the United States. So I was completely blind. So I got the license. I was very happy and to drive on freeway in Los Angeles. Can't you imagine Los Angeles? I cannot do now. But I did it anyway. And then I was really hesitated to get out. The moment when I tried to see the sign, okay? And then immediately I couldn't get out. And then immediately, you know, big truck behind me. So I lost the chance, you know, to get out. And then next exit, I tried to get out, and I had a chance to get out at that time. But I didn't know. I got out. And then simultaneously I saw the sign detour. So I detours. But I didn't know exactly the Los Angeles. So I had the map, but I didn't know how to read the map. And then I stopped the station, the gasoline stand, and asked, which should I go, you know, to get to the certain freeways. And gentleman always kindly helped me in the English, but I didn't understand the English well. So I tried to ask twice, and third time, but I couldn't repeat it again, asking again, fourth time, fifth time. So at fourth time, I said, thank you. But nothing to get it. So all I have to do is to start once more again to drive. So detour. Finally, I didn't understand how to get it. And that was happens in the morning. And then I got to my temple evening. I was completely scolded by Archbishop. So I think the human intellect is very interested in, but on the other hand, you have to deal with the human intellect. Well, how? Okay, you should be. So you have to cut it off sometimes. That's pretty good for you. That's why sitting is pretty good for us. You know, it's all right. I'm not talking about ignoring the human intellect, okay? You have to continue to think, that's fine. But sometimes keep your mind shut and just sitting. That's pretty good to me.